5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Brady Hole. We got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. So much to unpack from the weekend that was. Angel, let's do this. I just want to get right into it. The good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, the streak is over. The Broncos somehow beat the Chiefs 24-9 defensively. You held Kansas City to no touchdowns, zero touchdowns in this game. Patrick Mahomes, flu game? It wasn't like Michael Jordan's flu game. He had two interceptions and obviously no touchdowns. Offensively, the Broncos ran the ball, specifically Javonte Williams. 27 carries, 85 yards, and the Broncos get the dub. The streak is over. Now the questions begin. Tighten It Brewing poll question of the day. With the win over the Chiefs, should the Broncos stay the course? Not make any moves before tomorrow's trade deadline? Try to salvage the season, or are you still kind of like, 3-5, you got the win, but do you see a real shot at winning 9 or just enough to get you close to the playoff conversation? We'll talk about it throughout the course of the day today. The bad, Wyoming. The Wyoming Cowboys just crushed by the Boise State Broncos, 32-7. This is that game I was worried about. With the Cowboys, everything was looking good. You might be in a position to compete for the Mountain West Championship game And just like that, they are in the middle of the pack. 2-2 in the conference, 5-3 overall. Got smoked by Boise State. And now the Broncos, don't look now. They're 3-1 in the conference. Tied for second place with Fresno State UNLV. Still behind the Air Force Falcons. And I'll get to that. My ugly wasn't that game. Not even, maybe the snowball thing, but that's like its own segment there. Let's say the ugly is Shedeur Sanders and the CU Buffs losing 28-16. They covered the spread, but Shedeur was sacked 7 times. 7. Coach Prime says they need a new O-line. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. So, weird weekend. I'm plugging back in. I had to watch everything later. You know, we had the big KFKA wedding. Tanner Schwint, congratulations to Tanner and Jenna. They get married on Saturday. That was a lovely occasion. The snow was rolling. No, we didn't need bad music. But Susan and Cheryl loved that one. So, congratulations to Tanner Schwint and now Jenna Schwint. So, that was fun. Snow was coming down. There they go. And short-lived applause, but it was a lot of fun. Had a good time, but did have to record things, go back in, watch as many things as I possibly could that took place over the weekend, or at least over Friday night and Saturday. Buffs lose, Rams lose, Cowboys lose, but the Broncos win. Both sets of the Broncos, I guess, Boise State. How do we feel about this Broncos game and the win and everything and where we're sitting with Denver at this stage? So I want to get your thoughts on this one. The tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. With the win over KC, should the Broncos stay quiet around the trade deadline and try to make a run at salvaging the season? 57% of the hooligans now, again, you can go vote at thewholeshow.com. 57% say make a run at saving the season here. Here we go. 42% not convinced. Now, we had Darren McKee, D-Mac. You guys know the name. Prominent Denver media voice over the years. Came on the show on Friday and told us that that game, the game between the Broncos and the Chiefs, was going to be a team kind of basically talking about the importance of what that would mean. A team-defining, a season-defining win or loss. Lose, and it's back to the rumor mill with Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton and potentially Josie Jewell and maybe even Justin Simmons. Or Long shot, but Patrick Sertan. But now that you win, if what DMAC told us on Friday, you go the opposite route now. You make a run. You see if you can put together a few wins. And I'm telling you, now they go on their bye, and they have the Buffalo Bills next. And I don't think anybody's sitting here saying that the Buffalo Bills, at least at this stage, are flat out untouchable. It's in Buffalo, so obviously that's going to be difficult. But suddenly you feel a little different. And of course, the Minnesota Vikings would be the next home game, the game after Buffalo. Do you feel a little bit better about the situation? Now, Buffalo, they beat the Bucs last time out. They win 24-18. But they lose to teams like the Patriots. They lost to the Jags. It just hasn't looked easy for the Bills. So now you look at this game and you just wonder, could Denver salvage the season? Could they make a real run at this? And Sean Payton, I'll just tell you this. He said he would be disappointed if this was not a playoff team. Obviously, we know the dreaded comments about Nathaniel Hackett and last year being the worst coaching job ever. Make no mistake about it, Sean Payton feels pressure to win this season. When you throw a coach under the bus like that, like he did, you have to now prove that you can do better. So Denver, 3-5 on the season, you're at a stage where I think the pride thing is going to battle the future thing. You know, if you're going to let your pride get in the way and you want to find out if you can actually win some games this year, do what Nathaniel Hackett could not do, then you got to stay the course. You know, your mouth went and punched a ticket. It's trying to cash a ticket here. Or do they do what some might believe would be the smart thing and still consider those trades going forward? Eastside Chris texting in on our First Advantage text line, which is 888-530-0043. Brady, I would hate to see him go, but Josie Jewell will be a free agent at the end of the season. He will probably be pretty expensive. Would this be a good time to unload him and get a pick or two? Plus, Denver could start playing the younger guys more like Drew Sanders. That's going to be that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Will Denver sell or will they sit still and try to make a realistic run? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that all of the issues are somehow gone from what we saw when, you know, Denver beat Kansas City. Russell Wilson threw for 114 yards. He did throw 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, which we would have begged for that. We would have killed for that last season. But it's still clunky with him. Now, I love the fact that they committed to the run game. Javonte Williams, it wasn't the absolute best game in the world for him, but 27 carries, 85 yards, averaged 3 yards per carry. That's what I'd like to see more. Jaleel McLaughlin, who they really like, he only had 4 carries in this game, 38 yards. And then Russell Wilson ran the ball 8 times for 30 yards. You ran for 153 yards. This is what I've wanted to see for the last 2 seasons with Russell Wilson at quarterback, is put the pressure on your run game. Make that the thing that's going to win you some football games. And it wasn't pretty. Let's talk about this defense, man. Vance Joseph, fans were ready for him to get out the door. Fans were ready for Sean Payton to move on from Vance Joseph. And then you heard on the Pat McAfee show 2 weeks ago saying that Vance was going to be gone and Rex Ryan would likely be the guy to step in. Since that point, the Broncos, that conversation, I think, started ramping up. The Broncos allowed only 19 to Kansas City on that Thursday night game a few weeks ago. They allowed 17 to the Packers and then just 9, 0 touchdowns to the Chiefs. The defense has to be the ones to give most of the credit to in their last 3 weeks. And again, they didn't beat the Chiefs the first time around, but you felt pretty good about the defense. You're 2-1 in your last 3 games. After, you know, the Bears debacle, but you come back and win it, it was still very strange how it happened. Then you lose to the Jets 31-21 without Aaron Rodgers. So there were a lot of fans, including myself, ready to write this team off, ready to be done. And even when you battled against the Chiefs, it was like, yeah, the defense was there, but the Chiefs didn't really need to do much more than score 19. I feel like the Chiefs are kind of that. We'll see what happens in their bounce back. They get your Dolphins next on, Joe. But I felt that the Chiefs are a team that they just do what they need to do to win. It's not necessarily going to be as flashy. They'll just find ways to win. I still felt like 8 minutes left in that game yesterday that the Chiefs might still find a way back in this game. But the Broncos closed it. Get a key touchdown late between Russ and Cortland Sutton, and that changed things. You know, no lead is necessarily safe when you're talking about what Kansas City can do. We've seen the Chiefs score bunches late in the game. So hats off to the Broncos. Again, it wasn't the prettiest game by Russell Wilson, but getting touchdowns, three passing touchdowns, instead of settling for field goals, ultimately was what got this, you know, on the offensive side, what got this Broncos team the win, and now you're sitting at 3-5. So I'm very curious to see what Denver does. What does my gut tell me? My gut tells me that they've changed. Friday, I was ready. I was like, yeah, there's no way. I picked the Chiefs to win. I picked them to cover the spread. So I'm thinking, that's it. Now it's going to be time for the Broncos to take a long look at what the draft is going to look like, whether that's a quarterback they're after or not. And now you got to wonder, okay, is Buffalo winnable? It is winnable. I'm not sure how winnable that is. Buffalo strikes me as a team that once they figure it out, once they click, they will click. They got backdoored by Tampa Bay last week as far as the spread covering debate. So I don't know if Buffalo's where they want to be. You just hope that you're not catching them, you know, now in 2 weeks when they start clicking, when their offense really starts rolling. But right now, just based on what you've seen with Buffalo's schedule, it's not like a sure thing that the Bills are just going to win that. And now Minnesota, with the Kirk Cousins thing, with the torn Achilles, Minnesota's now a beatable team. You could be 500. You could be 500, you know, in the next 3 weeks. It's there. And if you're a 500 after that Minnesota game, you're sitting at 5-5, Broncos country is going to get right back in. They're going to believe. And maybe I do too. I don't know. It's Monday. It's the day after. So today's kind of reaction to everything that we saw. You'd hate to see guys go at this stage because you look at the locker room and they're like, we beat the Chiefs. We broke the streak. Last week we broke the, even though it wasn't Sean Payton's hump to get over, last week we broke the streak of being up at halftime and losing. It was at 10. So now you got a team that's starting to believe and you win these, I don't know if you're not going to call them monumental, but you win games that break bad streaks. That's the sign of a team that's starting to believe in themselves a little more. So now if you start trading key players off, even if they're just under, you know, another year contract or whatever, then you start losing the locker room again. The Broncos are at a critical point in their history, their short history. Short history with Sean Payton. Texter here from 678. Broncos capitalized on the Chiefs' mistakes. Not rooting for the Chiefs, but I'm just saying. Yeah, they did. And honestly, if you want to do the glass half full thing, they didn't capitalize enough. They forced five turnovers against Kansas City. And, you know, if I would have just looked at the box score like that and said, oh, you're going to tell me that they forced the Chiefs to turn the ball over five times and Patrick Mahomes threw two interceptions and no touchdowns, Broncos probably do win that thing. Maybe like a 24-9 or maybe more. But there was a time in that 7-8 minute window where I thought, man, they just didn't do enough. Patrick Mahomes didn't really look right. Was that the flu thing? I don't know. I don't care. I'm not giving excuses today. You break a streak, I'm not giving excuses. It's time. It was depressing all of us losing to the Chiefs over and over again. And now you're done with the Chiefs and you split with Kansas City. Eastside Chris, I think most were saying rush it more, Russ it less. Rush it more, Russ it less. Finally worked. Yeah. I still don't know that Russ is the long-term answer. And the only way to get a quick answer when you're looking at the draft and quarterbacks is you got to lose. Now you won two in a row. A lot to discuss today, 21 minutes after the hour. Shout out to one of our excellent sponsors, and that's Renaissance Insurance. I love working with these guys. Of course, Ryan is my guy there. And they formed this group about 22 years ago. They've always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs. Don't lose what you guys have been working so hard for. Call my guy Ryan today at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. A lot to get to today. Let me know where you want the Broncos to go. Stand pat or build for the future? Here's the question. Do you believe they can be a playoff team? If the answer, like today, if the answer is yes, then stand pat. If the answer is no, probably should sell off some assets and get some draft picks. We'll keep discussing. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
26 minutes after the hour. Victory Monday, at least for the Denver Broncos. 24-9. Yeah, I don't know. It's a conundrum that we're in right now. Let me read some of your comments. On our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, with the win over Kansas City, should the Broncos stay quiet around the trade deadline and try to make a run at salvaging the season? Mike says all trade offers that improve draft day should be considered. This young core is doing well, especially on D. Ship anyone out that makes sense. Tom says best this season is coming out is 6-11. You tell me. And that kind of is where the question is. What do you believe this team can really do? Do you think Denver can they win 9-10 games, which would put you at least somewhat of a playoff conversation? That's where you're sitting. You won two out of your last three. If I'm in charge today, I don't know, man. If I'm in charge today, because we're talking about Jerry Jeudy, we're talking about Justin Simmons, Josie Jewell, Courtland Sutton, and again, you have to throw Patrick Surtain in there because he would give you the most. You look at the actual standings and everything and where they sit and looking at the wild card and all that. Kansas City's still at number one. Miami's at number two. They play each other this weekend. Jacksonville, how about that? Jags are 6-2. The Ravens are 6-2. Buffalo 5-3, Pittsburgh 4-3. It's, you know, you're still down at the bottom of the barrel. It's not insurmountable because to get in the playoff conversation, you're looking at probably the 4-3s right now. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, the Jets are still in a playoff hunt. Hell, even the Houston Texans. It's not at this juncture in the season, winning the last two games at least put you back in the conversation of, that's not out of reach. But right now, you know, the record is what it is. You're 3-5, and that is you're just above the Patriots, and you're tied with the Colts, the two worst records. Now, the Raiders play tonight. They play Detroit. Probably lose that game. That puts them at 3-5. You got to look at teams like the Bengals. Bottom line is now you're going to look at teams in front of you. It's going to be a long road. It's a very long road for Denver. Eastside Chris, has there been a Dixon sighting? No, I think he has the flu. I hope he doesn't actually have the flu, but it's what happened with Mahomes. So I know he went, didn't he go to like the World Series on Friday? Wasn't he at the game? I don't know. I heard that he was going. I don't know if he actually ended up going. This is just where it's going to get really interesting. Okay, my gut tells me Denver's going to stand pat. I think Sean Payton is going to let his ego, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm saying he's going to let his ego get in the way here, and he's going to try to do what he said Nathaniel Hackett was so terrible at doing is try to get the best from this team. Because if you go on and you just win four or five games, and this is what the Broncos did last year, and then you're gonna have to live with that all offseason, where your comments said Nathaniel Hackett had the worst coaching job ever, but yet you didn't do much better. So my gut tells me they'll stand pat here. So you're looking at it. What is it? Seven playoff teams now? You get seven. So Miami's got their spot. Baltimore, as of right now, Miami, Baltimore, Jacksonville, KC. There's your four. Now you start digging in and looking at the wild cards. Buffalo, Jets, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Like I said, Houston's still in the mix right now. I don't know if that's going to last. Tennessee's still in the mix. The Colts, everybody in the AFC South is still very much in the mix for a wild card spot. Everybody in the AFC North still very much in the mix for a wild card spot. Everybody save for the Patriots in the AFC East is in the mix for that as well. Now the AFC West, Chargers won, but they're 3-4, and the Raiders are 3-4. Probably go to 3-5 tonight. We'll see. This makes it the most complex situation ever. If there were more teams in the basement right now, if you had more Patriots-like teams where there were 2-6 teams, but it's really spread out in the AFC. Save for your division leaders, everybody else is kind of in the middle. Miami, Baltimore, Jacksonville, and Kansas City all at 6-2. Then everybody else is kind of right there in the mud as far as really, you know, making a strong push for the playoffs. So that would make the decision a little bit easier too. If there were 5-6 teams you could easily see jumping over, or you're ahead of 4 or 5 teams, and then there are another 3 or 4 or 5 teams you feel like you could jump over, great, but you're still at the bottom of the barrel. You got a bye week. A lot of stuff's going to happen now with some of these teams. You're really rooting for the Lions. Now you just want to jump over as many teams you possibly can. But you got to make a decision tomorrow. And now you go, okay, Jerry Jeudy had a touchdown in this game. 2 receptions for 50 yards and a touchdown. It's nice. Cortland Sutton, 2 receptions, 29 yards, and a touchdown. Again, it just doesn't feel like this offense is going to be able to hold up throughout the course of the season. But defensively, you feel so much better about your situation. I mean, Jonathan Cooper and Zach Allen getting back there for each had a half a sack. Justin Simmons gets the pick. Recovered a fumble as well. You like some of these pieces, but how much do you really like this? This is what happened last year, guys. The Broncos were 3-5. They just beat Jacksonville in London to go to 3-5. And you wondered what they were going to do. Are they going to go on this campaign to trade players, move on from players, and then just kind of ready for the draft? Now, they did trade Bradley Chubb. This was when last year, this time, they were ready to move on from Bradley Chubb, and they got a first-round pick. Will they do something similar and maybe trade a guy? Is Jerry Jeudy going to make that big of a difference if they move on? That's the other question. Are there guys on this roster that you could go, hey, we're not utilizing the receivers that much anyway. We want to build around the run. We're going to keep Cortland Sutton and see if he can still be a red zone magnet for Russ and be okay moving on from Jeudy. Like the Patrick Surtain thing's probably out the window. Josie Jewell, as Eastside Chris pointed out with his contract, could be interesting. But obviously you move on from him and you have a big hole in that linebacking spot. Like Jeudy, I don't think makes a huge difference one way or the other. I could see Denver trading him and still feel like they can salvage the season. Now, last season, as I said, they beat Jacksonville 21-17. It was a good game from Russ. You're 3-5. You're at the bye. Well, here's what happened after that. You went on to lose your next 5 games. All competitive. Lost to Tennessee 17-10. You lost to Las Vegas 22-16 in overtime. You lost to Carolina 23-10. Baltimore 10-9. That was when Lamar Jackson left the game early with an injury in the first quarter. And then you lost to Kansas City 34-28. You were 3-10. So 3-5 going into the bye, ended up being 3-10. And you did trade Chubb. You got the first rounder, but you might be able to get more. They're at a crossroads. And this schedule is much different than what that looked like. I mean, at Tennessee, Vegas, Carolina, and at Baltimore, those were your next four games. This year, things have changed a little bit. Buffalo doesn't feel like that's going to be a Monday Night Football game. Buffalo doesn't feel like, at least to me, doesn't feel like they're where they want to be at this stage. And then Minnesota, Cleveland, at Houston. I would say those feel like winnable games suddenly. Buffalo's going to be the toughest one. Minnesota now feels like they could certainly be a team you could beat. Because Kirk Cousins is out. And he was putting up MVP-type numbers. What will Denver do? What would you like to see Denver do? Go vote at theholeshow.com. With the win over Kansas City, should the Broncos stay quiet around the trade deadline and try to make a run at salvaging the season? And almost 60% say, hey, I believe, man, I'm all in. Let's go make a run at this thing. Let's see if we can get there. 58% now saying make a run at salvaging the season or saving the season. 41% say make moves for picks. Is this team just going to do what the Broncos have done in the past? Give you a little glimmer of hope. That's a lot of glimmer by beating the Chiefs. That's a big win. Make no mistake about it. It's like a marquee win. What do you do with that win? Because in the years past, whether it was Nathaniel Hackett, Vic Fangio, or Vance Joseph, we've seen this before, where you go into your bye, you're kind of at that midway point in the season, and you're feeling good, you're getting some false hope, you're getting some fool's gold, and then you just don't deliver. Or is it different with Sean Payton? 37 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Hikes Ace Hardware, veteran and locally owned. That's Hikes Hardware. Look for them. Store address, 1722 9th Street here in Greeley. They offer military, first responder, and educator discounts. And again, just being known as Greeley's original hardware location since 1954, that's got to tell you something. That says a lot there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0093. That's 888-530-0043. All right, so the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Should the Broncos sell or stand pat? We'll get into more of that conversation a little bit later in the program. Another bad thing that took place over the weekend was the Colorado Buffaloes losing to UCLA. Yeah, it wasn't a shock that they lost. I mean, I picked them to cover the spread. They backdoored that one. They scored late in that game. Made it 28-16. But it was, as it is now, it's always we're paying attention to the post-game stuff. We're paying attention to the pre-game stuff. Coach Prime, here's what he had to say on the offensive line, short and sweet, on that side of things.
I just asked that turf for the big picture, trying to keep Shadur upright, healthy.
The big picture, you go get new linemen. That's the picture. I'm going to paint it perfectly.
I mean, we're all thinking it. It's true. But these are also linemen that you brought in trying to fix this problem. And, you know, it's bad. He was sacked 7 times. I still say this about Shador, man. He's a good quarterback. He's a great college football quarterback. But it is hard to win football games, especially when you're going up against the competition, like, you know, top 25 teams like a UCLA, when you can't keep the quarterback upright. And Shador was banged up, man. And primetime again, not keeping any secrets. He's talking about the relationship with UCLA's coach, of course, Kelly and all that. And but then he went on to talk about Prime or about Shador. Here's a little bit of that postgame.
Coach, I'm glad we finally got our contest over so I could call him and get advice from time to time. We discussed that before the game and then after the game. He's one of the real ones. He's one of the good ones, and he knows what he's doing. So I could glean a lot from him. Today, we played our butts off. I feel like I'm proud of the kids. I really am proud of these young men. They hung in there as long as they could. Offensively, we got to improve. You see that. Quarterback is taking his beating. Now he got an injection at halftime. Probably shouldn't tell you that, but you know I'm 100. And just to block some of the pain, so I'm going to give him the next few days off so he could at least be mobile, because I know once that block is off, he's going to feel it tonight. We got to do a better job of protecting him running the football. I know we had a couple linemen go down, but there's no excuse. It's got to be next man up, so we got to have enough depth to be able to accomplish the goals that we set out to accomplish. Special teams, Mata was terrific. Mata was unbelievable. That is who he is, so that's a highlight of the special teams, and they covered tremendously well as well. Defensively, we fought our butts off. We made some key mistakes. Once Shiloh went out, he's one of the main communicators on the back end. That was a tremendous blow for us because he's one of the leaders on the backside of the defense, and he's the enforcer. He's the dog back there, and I don't complain about official calls, but because those guys have the toughest job in the country to me, because the game is going so fast and they have to make a call, even though they have a opportunity for instant replay. But the catch on the sideline and the targeting for Shiloh, I'm still questioning those things. But if it is what it is, they did. But I think they had a tremendous bearing on the outcome of the game, because when you lose a safety of that caliber, that lose the quarterback of the defense, that's a tremendous blow. And that play on the sideline, I think that was a third down, would have been off the field as well. So we got to do a lot better, not only offensively, defensively, as well as coaching the game. And I'll take full responsibility for that. And I got to address those issues that we're having as well.
There's Coach Prime talking about, the Buffs standing up defensively, and really, they did. 14 points scored by the Bruins in that fourth quarter. Shiloh, I don't know what targeting is anymore. I didn't really think it was that. But these officials have ideas of what they're looking for. They're told what they're supposed to be looking for. I didn't really see it. But it was a rough weekend for the Sanders boys. I mean, was Shiloh getting ejected, or that was a big play, a game-changing play. Shador running all over the place. Texter here. Shador has been sacked 99 times in 3 seasons at 2 different schools. Issues might not be the offensive line. I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like, yeah, there's certainly times when has Shador held onto the ball too long, didn't go with the, you know, didn't move on through his progressions as quickly as he should. Yeah, there's going to be plenty of those times. But more often than not, I feel like if he's given the time, he's going to make a pretty good decision. And this game wasn't completely out of reach until that fourth quarter hit. Travis Hunter was, you know, the guy's a playmaker. He had 2 interceptions, 2 acrobatic picks, as well as, you know, getting involved in the, just getting involved in the on the defensive side, running around making plays. I didn't think CU would win this game. I thought they'd cover. So it's kind of why I'm not like, the sky is falling for the Buffs now. Buffs are what, 4-4? You have to just, I'm really trying to take a step back and look at this Buffs team. Had the hire not been primetime, or had primetime not done all of the videos and all of the bringing Louis stuff and all the hype going in every game, there's almost a fight. Well, not now, but almost a fight at the pregame there for a while. Then I think we'd back off and go 4-4 based on where you were last year. That's an improve. Unfortunately, when you do talk a bigger game, which is certainly what Coach Prime has done and this Buffs team has done, you raise the level of expectation. So I want to be fair, Because I can't, you can't have it both ways. Because when the Buffs stormed out the gates and they were 3-0, it was we coming. You know, we're gonna, we think we're a playoff team or a top team in the Pac-12. They were ranked, all of those things. And now you're 4-4, and the adage has changed to, well, yeah, but we only won one game last year. So which is it? Which extreme is it? And here's what I said at the beginning of the season. This is an improved football team. They'll probably be a bowl team. They'll probably get close to 7 wins. But that's about where I stuck it throughout the course of this season. When it was the best of times, I didn't think they were going to beat. I did think they were going to beat USC. I did. And they came pretty close. And USC has their issues for sure. Didn't see them beating Oregon, of course. But I think that this team, honestly, is probably right where they should be. Because of the expectations mixed in with the reality of the situation with a new coach in a higher conference. This is about where now they got Oregon State coming up. That's going to be tough. Where are the wins? Is there a bowl? Now you're doing the bowl watch. You got to win 2 out of these next 4. And Utah got schlacked by Oregon. Still think Utah is the better team there. Washington State's probably the better team. That's on the road. Angel, they might not get to bowl. They might not get to win number 6. They're sitting up. They got the Arizona game. But Arizona's, what are they, 5 wins? 5-3? So where would I be disappointed is if they don't get to that 5-6. 11:50 the time. Let's take a short break. Wrap up hour number 1 on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, I'll take some time to bust through some texts here. If you guys want to get at us on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Chris in Fort Fun talking about the Broncos. I think you can take positives from the game, but it's just one data point. You can't ignore everything that came before it. A few short touchdown passes masked another generally poor performance from Russ. He isn't someone to build around. At this point, the Broncos need to identify the young pieces they want to keep around and move around as many others as possible. Yeah, I'm not walking away from that game going, yeah, Russ is the guy to build around. I don't see it. Stickman, Broncos celebrating today just like the NBA team that will win the midseason cup will celebrate. Nobody cares but the team and its fans. Generally, that's may not make the playoffs, but hey, we won. Stopped the streak. Screwed up getting a low draft pick. Nice season. Maybe I'm just a little sour. I think there's reason to celebrate if you're a Broncos fan. You haven't had many of these marquee victories. The Chiefs aren't just a team that's beat you, what was it, 16 times? They might be a Super Bowl team. So you win that game. Now you get a hang on that. You take two wins in a row into the bye week. So yeah, I think if you're a Broncos fan, you haven't had much to celebrate. Absolutely celebrate this. I just don't know where you're going from here. Texter on the Buffs thing. O-line for CU is awful. Time for the media to move on from CU until next year. Go Rams. Both teams aren't exactly in a great spot going forward. Brady, I apologize for my last text. My CSU stupidity came out. I didn't read it. However, would the bowl officials want to schedule a CU bowl game due to revenue? Oh, they'd love to get CU in a bowl game. I just don't know if there's enough games left for the Buffs to get there. 3 minutes until the top of the hour. Big story of the day coming up next. We'll be right back.